Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If Obama loses, he might lose. I would hope that people voted against him because they didn't like his energy plan, they didn't like his economic vision, they didn't like the fact that he came out against the war so early when everybody else was being culpable and going with the status quo.
But don't vote against him on the basis of race, said Donna Brazile there at the New Yorker Festival last month here in New York. And 4 days before the election, my first guest today is Donna Brazile, Al Gore's campaign manager in 2000, a prominent commentator all through this election year on CNN and elsewhere. And Donna, always good to have you on. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Are you nervous about Tuesday? I know the polls are good for Obama, but every Obama supporter I know is almost desperately nervous about how this will turn out.
Well, you know, I've been involved in 7 presidential campaigns and managed one, so I am cautiously optimistic. I tend to like to get my hands dirty, if you know what I mean. That is, I like to go door to door. I went down to Virginia Beach and Richmond. I went canvassing. I did some door knocking the other night in Northern Virginia. I've been making phone calls to undecided voters. So I tend to spend the closing days of the campaign helping those who are on the ground trying to get reluctant voters to go to the polls.
Do people recognize you?
Oh, yes, they do. And I tell you, I was at a mall yesterday in Virginia, and I said, well, let me go in and get something to eat. And I spent 30 minutes talking to women and their families about the election. And many of them were planning on voting for Obama, but I reassured them on taxes. They wanted to talk about this whole notion of if he's a socialist, and they've heard some of these nasty robocalls. And so I spent most of my afternoon reassuring them that Senator Obama's tax plan will help and aid the middle class, and went on to some larger issues like climate change. They wanted to know my views on that as well.
I heard a report from Virginia this morning on NPR that said they're anticipating a shortage of voting machines and extraordinarily long lines on Tuesday, especially in African-American areas of Norfolk and Richmond, for example. Do you think that's going to be a problem?
Governor Kane has, I know, issued an order to redouble the number of poll workers, machines, and supplies in many of those precincts. We know from past history that the way vote machines are allocated are based on what we call previous results. So in previous elections, if only 30% of the eligible citizens voted, you know, normally they prepare for 30, 35%. But what Governor Kane and many others have done across the country is to prepare for a much higher percentage of people who will cast their ballots on Election Day. Again, we're urging people, if you're able to vote early, if you're able to go in and cast an absentee ballot, that's something I'm planning to do in D.C., you should do that to avoid the gridlock. But I do believe that Governor Kane and many of the other governors and secretaries of states are taking every effort possible to try to make sure that we don't have any kind of what we call last-minute gridlock at those in those precincts across the country.
Listeners, we can take your calls and comments for Donna Brazile this morning. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, anyone else? Bob Barr voters, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment or question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show for Democratic strategist Donna Brazile this morning. Donna, what do you make of the tightening of the polls in some places over the last few days? We talked on the show yesterday with a Pennsylvania pollster who had a 12-point Obama lead in his poll. Today I see one with just a 4-point lead in Pennsylvania.
Well, as you well know, this is natural. Polls tighten in the last 3 days of every election, the last 4 days included. And that's because undecided voters decide finally to take their home or to cast their ballot. Remember, polling models are different from state to state. Some polls that I look at today are based on the 04 model. Some of them have a likely voter model. Some have a registered voter model. I'm confident at the end of the day that the polls that not only will matter to Senator Obama, the polls on Election Day, but right now it's still a very competitive race, and I think the win is at Senator Obama's back, but vote. No one is taking this election for granted. Senator Obama is going to campaign nonstop from now until he casts his ballot on Tuesday in Chicago.
The other thing Obama supporters keep talking about to me is the prospect of a stolen or contested election. People are really worried about not just long lines, but lots of challenges of voter IDs leading to provisional ballots which might not count, election machine fraud, and things like that. How worried are you about those kinds of things?
Well, you know, we have experienced already in this cycle what I call election dysfunction, where we've seen problems with vote flipping and Tennessee and Texas, West Virginia, voters are going in and some of those touchscreen machines and hitting Senator Obama and McCain names appear. And, you know, again, it's not just the technology, but if voting officials don't take the time to educate every eligible citizen of their right to vote, to make sure that those machines are calibrated and not using some single source technology to tamper with them, I want to say that, you know, my confidence in the system is still not 100% strong, because we've made certain strides to fix the problems, but we've also seen problems this year, illegal purging of citizens across the country. We've seen these robocalls telling people, if you're a Democrat, vote on Wednesday, Republicans vote on Tuesday. I've heard in Nevada where Latinos are receiving calls that you can vote by just punching the one on your phone and you don't have to turn out. So I'm somewhat guardedly optimistic that we will not have as many problems as we had in 2004. But then again, there's always someone out there who's trying to create havoc, and we have to really be vigilant and watch every poll, every precinct, and to urge people to volunteer to canvass their community to make sure that there are no problems, no dirty tricks on Election Day.
What do you make of the vote flipping that you mentioned in some of these computerized voting booths? I had a guest the other day who is convinced that this is not just, you know, electronic glitches, but that because the vote flipping has seemed to go mostly from the Obama to McCain direction, he said, I don't know if that's true, that he thinks it's tampering.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist on this stuff. I do believe that it is a little bit mind-boggling that in all three cases that I've read about and heard about, remember, the Democratic Party, along with the Obama campaign, has deployed computer experts. They've deployed people once they've heard these stories to try to urge election officials to calibrate their machines, to check the technology, and in most cases, we've gotten it fixed. But again, voters themselves must be vigilant. They must go into the booth and make sure that they are casting their ballot as they for their preference. These machines are not foolproof. I don't have the evidence that there's tampering, but I do know, just based on the sheer volume of calls that we've received on the voter protection hotline, that we have some problems with these machines, and I think after this election, Congress should once again figure out, you know, how we can have paper ballots to ensure that we don't have these problems on Election Day, or even for those who are casting their ballots early.
Brenda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Donna Brazile. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I hear a lot of people are voting for Obama because of his race, and some people maybe will vote against him because they're against his race. I mean, just aren't both equally wrong? Shouldn't we just be just looking at the man?
Well, you know, if you look at the polls, and I can only go by the polls, 85% of the American people say race won't matter. And I happen to believe that that is not going to be the salient issue. I'm not naive to believe that race will not affect some voters out there. But I do believe that, by and large, if you look at the polls, if you look at where Obama's leading, when you look at states that have tightened, like North Dakota, for example, Georgia, Arizona, you know, clearly voters are going beyond looking at the color of the candidate's skin, and they're looking at something else. And I'm sure it's the economy, because that's where all of us are looking. We're looking at the, you know, our 401k, our pension, our retirements. We're looking at the federal budget, and we're saying we need a change. And I think that's the dominant issue in this election cycle.
So are you saying that win or lose, race is not the issue in the case of whether Obama wins or loses?
I'm not naive. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, if you look at the polls, about a third of the voters in June said that race would be an issue. Now it's less than 15%. All I'm saying is that is not the dominant issue, and we're getting this from the people themselves. We won't know until the election is over with, and when we find out what are the top reasons why you voted for X or Y, we won't know if race was a factor. But all we can go by right now is the polls, and what I go by is the sheer number of people. Look, if race was a factor, Obama would not be winning in several states across this country. He would not be tightening the race in Indiana. African Americans only make up 12% of the population, 10 to 11% of the voting age population. So clearly race is not that big of a factor, because blacks could not be carrying the day had it not been for the support and I should say enthusiastic support by whites, Latinos, and others, because Senator Obama would not be doing very well in all of these key battleground states without the support of what I call a coalition of voters.
Brenda, thank you for your call. Donna Brazil, my guest on WNYC. I played that clip at the top of the segment of you from the New Yorker Festival saying,
yeah,
if you vote against Obama, please do it because you don't like his energy plan or his stand on the war or something other than his race, anything other than his race. And you also emphasized in that talk how much America has changed since you were a kid in the segregated South, rather than how much it hasn't. Is that the balance of judgment for you?
Oh, absolutely. I ran a campaign in 2000. I was the first African-American, the first black female as well, to ever run a major presidential campaign. Ron Brown, and back in 1992, was the first African-American to lead a major national political party. I can go on in terms of the accomplishments. We've come a mighty long way, and we keep looking in the rearview mirror, thinking that we're in the past, but people are not focused on the fact that we have moved the goalposts even further down the road to racial equality. And where Dr. King wanted to take us, he saw, you know, beyond that mountain. Now we're not there yet, but we have made a lot of progress. And I think to suggest that somehow or another race is going to be the dominant factor, no, I call it the Obama effect. I've never seen so many, you know, people excited about a presidential campaign in my entire adult life. Now I'm under 50, but people from every background, when I'm down in Southern Virginia and I look at the number of people who are volunteering on a cold, wintry, wet day to go out and canvass, I looked around that room. They were black and white of all ages and all backgrounds, because they want something different for their future. And they're not looking in the rearview mirror to see a glimpse of tomorrow. They're already predicting that tomorrow is going to be much better than yesterday.
Well, Senator Obama himself has so played down his race to run as an American candidate, not a black candidate. Would he need to manage that differently as president than as a candidate?
Look, it's visible. His exterior, like my exterior, I mean, it's visible. But you know what I have come to admire about Senator Obama, and I say this as someone who never put a lot of emphasis on, you know, racism, sexism, ageism, any of the isms that I've, you know, faced and just kept moving. Senator Obama makes me feel like I'm just a person. I'm a human being. And when I said an infomercial the other night, every story that he told about those people who were fighting for change, I could relate to all of those stories. And I didn't look at it as a black woman. I looked at it as I'm an American. I know what it's like to deal with health insurance issues. I know what it's like to worry about my mortgage. I know what it's like to worry about jobs and economic security. So I just think that we've reached a point in our country where we need a new vocabulary on how we talk about race, because we're too busy talking about bigots, we're too busy talking about our differences, and we're not talking about what brings us all together. I have to tell you, Brian, my neighbor's Republican. I'm not going to give out her name, but she's a real diehard Republican.
Yeah.
And she's been my neighbor now for the last 12 years. And when her kids went to get confirmed, because we're both Catholic, She said, Donna, you know, you're like their second mom. They're always at your house eating. I said, well, you know, I like to cook. But last night she said that she's having an election night party. I said, oh, that's great. I'll be in New York with CNN and ABC. She said, oh, but I'm doing it for Obama. I almost fell out my chair. Then I woke up this morning and saw her pumpkin carved, and it has Obama face on it because her kids are for Obama. And she said, my kids have never been excited about politics. So she's voting Obama. There's, Obama has transformed so many people and so much right now. And look, I believe he will make it across that finish line because the momentum is there for him, and people really have come to appreciate what he stands for and the kind of campaign that he's run. But I also want to tell people that even if Obama doesn't make it, and I'm one who believes he will make it, I just think that he has brought us so farther along as a country and as a people.
Mark,
and I mean American people.
Mark in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Donna Brazile.
Hey, thanks very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As always, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Ms. Brazile, I have a question for you. One of the badge of honors that you tout and wear was the 2000 campaign of Al Gore, which you got to admit was probably one of the worst debacles in electoral history of this country. What have you learned from that, and how do you think you can make a difference 8 years later? And I'll take my question and drop the air, please.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, and let me tell you, I'm doing it now. Why do you think I'm still out here? You know, I've had opportunities to be a lobbyist. I've had opportunities to do a lot. Why am I still out here encouraging people to vote, encouraging people to register, you know, monitoring the political process? 2000 taught me a great deal about politics. They said that you just can't get the vote out, Brian. You got to count every vote. You got to encourage people to fix the system. And that's why I'm still out here. I learned that lesson. I also learned another thing, that you don't take your home state for granted. Had we won Tennessee, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. And although I warned some of our pollsters and our strategists that Tennessee was in danger going to George Bush, they said, well, the polls don't show that. We wouldn't spend money. Look who's fighting right now today for Arizona. John McCain, his campaign clearly should have learned that lesson as well. There are many other things I learned from 2000. Clearly, you know, some tactical decisions we could have made, some strategic decisions we could have made in terms of message. But overall, I learned that we have to count every vote and encourage ordinary citizens to participate in the political process and not be deterred by phony, bogus tricks before Election Day that often lead people to stay at home and feel disenfranchised.
If Obama wins the election on Tuesday, what happens on Wednesday?
I think he reaches out to Senator McCain. He encourages Senator McCain to work with him to build the kind of government and to help with the transition that will allow us to get back on our feet in 2009. Senator Obama is a different brand of Democrat. He, you know, people want to put him in a liberal box and the progressive box and the anti-left. Get rid of all of those boxes. The next president will have to govern as if he's fighting for all of the people. Harry Truman said it best. The president is the only elected position who must fight for all the people. And I think he has to reach out with an olive branch. I know it's going to be hard, given all of the salacious lies that they've told, and even as we speak today, all of the nasty robocalls. Reach out to your opponent and try to build a government that represents the values of all the American people.
What kind of robocalls are you hearing about today?
Oh, my God. It's the usual. He's a terrorist. The RNC has put out another press release, this whole guilt by association, this anti-Muslim slur, which I think is demeaning. Colin Powell has already said enough about that. And just the usual, you know, hanky-panky, dirty tricks that you see in last minutes. But the Obama campaign is perhaps one of the best organized campaigns I've ever seen in my life, at least on the Democratic side. They're very disciplined in terms of message, and I think they're countering all of these last-minute lies by basically putting out proactive, positive calls. And I'm thankful that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are on the campaign trail as well this weekend, because many of those late-minute, last-minute breaking voters are still some of Senator Clinton's backers, and we need her voice. We need Bill Clinton's voice out there as well. And, Brian, I don't know if you know that Al and Tip are heading down to Florida to do some rallies to urge people to early vote. And I just emailed Tip, and I thank them for going down there to get some of those voters out.
We got a couple of minutes left. Based on our earlier patch of conversation about election fraud, we're getting a lot of posts on our website, and they tend to run like this. One of them says, I heard that 10,000 lawyers will be available to help voters in key states where they predict voter fraud might take place. Is this true? Another one, this Democratic complacency about voter fraud drives me nuts. I don't understand why there isn't mass action to overhaul these faulty machines. The Democrats should be yelling from the rooftops about elections being stolen.
First of all, we're going to work very hard across the country. 2 years ago, Howard Dean deployed many of our best and brightest lawyers, citizen activists, to go to every county official in the country. Remember, elections are conducted at the state and county level. There is no constitutional right to vote. There's constitutional amendments that prohibit discrimination based on race and gender, but there's no constitutional right. So we have to go to meet with state officials. We have to identify these problems early on. We've done so. We're continuing to work with secretaries of states. In some places, we've sued because we want to make sure that no one is denied the right to vote. But we're going to conduct this election with all of our voter protection coordinators, our legal monitors, as if things will go smoothly. But we also must give citizens the right to know what they can and cannot expect at the voting place. And first-time voters, they must show an ID. And in terms of these malfunctioning vote machines, the Democrats have gone on record many times condemning these machines. And what can I say? We need to have a majority in Congress overhaul these machines to say that we request a paper ballot, as they've done in many states, but we need a federal law for that and not just rely state by state, county by county. It's a huge job, but we're on top of it.
All right. One last call. We took a McCain caller, an Obama caller. I said anyone could call, including Bob Barr callers. And here is one. Dane in Port Washington. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Brian and Donna. First-time voter. I'm 19, and I'll be voting for Bob Barr. I like his views, and I don't want to be on any bandwagon.
Do you have a question for Donna?
Do you think Bob Barr will poll 1% in New York?
I don't know what he'll poll in New York. I think that he'll poll somewhat of 2-3% in some states across the country, especially in the South. But, you know, I don't feel like I'm on a bandwagon as a now supporter of Barack Obama. I was neutral in the primary. I feel like I'm part of a movement that wants to take our country back, to hold our government officials more accountable, that want to see us return at some point in the near future to a balanced budget so that we can invest in education and health care and all of the priorities we have in this country. And I'm glad to have lived long enough to been involved in politics since the age of 9 to see this country on the verge of making history. No matter who you support next week, Brian, we're going to make history. We will have the first African-American or a woman a heartbeat away from the presidency. And clearly, I've made up my mind. I know that I will back Senator Obama, but I'm glad to see that this country has finally turned the page.
Donna Brazil, Democratic strategist, thanks for spending this time with us on what I'm sure is an extremely busy day for you. One way or the other, we'll come out the other side, and I hope we'll talk to you after the election.
God bless you, and God bless all your listeners. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll check in with WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein next. She is in Florida.
We have come so far in this country. This country, and you have to have lived as long as I've lived and as long as many of you in this room, to have seen so much progress. I remember when I would get on a bus. This is after segregation was so-called over with. And my mother would tell me, because I would take my young brothers downtown, and she said, Donna, now you get on the bus, and you and your brothers, y'all go all the way to the back, and don't look at anybody. And of course, I would get on that bus, all right, tell my brothers, go straight to the back, don't look at anybody, because I didn't want them to get in trouble. I sat right there and said, now, let me see if this everything's okay. Is it really changed? We have changed.
More of Donna Brazil from her appearance at the New Yorker Festival here in New York last month. Andrea Bernstein from Florida in a minute.